returning to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, as you always do at this time on Friday, Pacific time, of course, 11 a.m. For about an hour, we talk about things that you can talk about to me, your friendly psychologist, Dr. Michelle, on the couch. And that means we're helping you with psychological issues, because I'm a licensed psychologist. Call me Dr. Michelle, or whatever you want. And you can also call in live if you'd like to talk about any issues or problems or things you might want to discuss. The number here is 323. That's the area code in Los Angeles. That's where we're at here. 203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. Hope you're having a great day. Make it more so. Stay tuned. And you can also email me if you have questions or problems or stuff going on. What I like to do is I like to answer people's emails on the air. And that's what we're going to be doing because it's a free-for-all Friday today. A lot of times I have authors and guests and people calling. And, of course, you can call, like I said, listeners if you have issues. But basically what we're going to do today is answer a lot of listeners' questions who have emailed me. And they've connected up to me through my website. It's Dr. Michelle Therapy, Dr. Michelle with two L's, therapy.com, drmichelletherapy.com. Of course, you can click on my link to my email address, which is docmichelle@aol.com. This is where most folks are asking me questions about relationships, about just about anything, actually. But it all boils down to relationships, you know, when we think about it, because that's all we have to judge who we are in this world by is our relationship with others. So we're going to be talking about things like guilt, making up for betrayals that you have done in the past, taking responsibility for your role in life and the way you hurt people, making changes in your life, how you lost a lot of money and felt bad about it, kind of feeling better about yourself. Making changes, like I said, and relationship issues. So let's rock. Let's get started. And I don't know. There's no real big order, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to start out by answering a question from a lady. We'll just call her Lisa. How's that? She said not to give her name on the air. I don't know why, because there's a gazillion people out there with the same problem, but that's fine. I respect your wishes. So, Lisa, here you go. Dear Dr. Michelle, my husband drinks too much. The problem I have with that, aside from it being bad for his health, is his mean-spirited attitude toward me after he drinks. He says negative things about me that he'd not normally say while sober. The crazy thing about it is the next day he's telling me how much he loves me and how he would be nothing without me, and that he's sorry. So how do I elevate myself above circumstances that seem to just take me on one roller coaster right after another? How do I free myself from negativity about his abuse of me? I want to understand the truth about the power the situation has over me. Please help. Help! Help! This is a really, and I don't mean to minimize it, common problem that a lot of people have, Lisa. So check it. Nothing at all can grow strong and healthy and real and true that lives under a shadow of negativity. Okay? Human beings, I don't think, were meant to live in an endless shadow of fear. Okay? So I would never tell you what to do in a situation like yours. Never. But personally, I would not tolerate it. Okay? So if your description's accurate, so the prescription for the condition would be to try to take care of yourself. See, if somebody doesn't become active in helping an alcoholic, okay, then one is enabling that person. I don't know if you have tried in the past. He doesn't know what he's doing to himself. He doesn't know what he's doing to you. He's beyond. Because somebody who is really aware of what they're doing would stop and say, do I want to destroy this relationship? Do I want to destroy my body? I guess maybe he does. But the point is that you need to check with him whether he wants to bring you down with him. And because you love him, you want to help him. So he'll never get that unless there's some kind of an intervention. So it's up to you. And you've got to kind of check out what within you has been just taking this abuse. Abuse, abuse. I know it's tough. I know you feel beat down. I know it's really difficult. The thing is I get excuses already for this guy because you're saying, he says negative things about me he would not normally say while sober. That's excuses. You know? I don't like old cliches. I don't like old words of wisdom that are beat to death. But, they say a drunk man's words are a sober man's thoughts. Okay? A woman's thoughts. Whatever. Let's not be sexist here. But anyway, got to get him to help. Got to get him to AA. You got to go as well. You've got to go to Al-Anon and start understanding his psyche and why he's doing this to himself and you. You got to get help and support from others, family members of those who are alcoholics. You've got to get the help. All right? Try to get him involved in a 12-step group. It's pretty agnostic. You don't have to pray to a certain, spiritual form, just some kind of a higher power is where it's at. Try to get him to get in touch with his higher power so he can feel better about himself. Get him to an AA group. Get him with a sponsor. Start intervening with him, with your family, that you can't take this abuse anymore. And you've got to keep active with it. If he doesn't receive the help, then that's it. He's got to hit bottom. And then you have to move on. And that's the way it is. Okay? So it's about getting healthy together. If he chooses not to get healthy, you're going to continue to be dragged down. Sometimes they say people have to hit bottom. And maybe he's going to have to do that. So, Lisa, I wish you all the best. I wish you well. And if you want to follow me up with the little note there, tell me what's going on. Tell me if you can get him some help and if he's willing to do that. Give him an ultimatum. If he wants to ruin the relationship, so be it. There's other people who are suffering here. He's suffering deeply, obviously. But he's self-destructive. So there you go. Hope I helped, Lisa. Gee, that was a happy note. We always start out on a happy note here. This is Dr. Michelle with you on LA Talk Radio, and you're on the couch with me. I'm answering listeners' questions who have emailed me. Link to my email address from my website. Website's drmichelletherapy.com, and the email address is docmichelle@aol.com. Now let's see. I'm going to go to another one. Here's a good one. Some of these problems are really heavy today. Let's go with it. Dear Dr. Michelle, I was sexually abused at a very young age. Its effects have permeated my life, and it's affected my self-esteem, my relationships, and I think it's the root cause for past substance abuse and a lifelong weight problem. I've forgiven my abuser as much as I could. Now, how do I forgive myself? How do I improve my self-esteem, my life, and the lives of my kids? I no longer choose to remain a victim and wish to fulfill my purpose in life. Well, you know what? I'll just tell you right now, I think that you've answered your own question. You say, I wish to fulfill my purpose in life. So let me tell you something that I believe in, because I'm more here and now reality in my therapy. Yeah, I do look back. Yes, we are abused. Yes, we are damaged. Yes, we do have low self-esteem. We're fighting mad. So, you know, rightly so. But the problem, the way you have to look at it, in my point of view, Cheryl, is not your past. All right? Something in you has formed a life around its continuing to focus on it. You see? The sense of yourself has become the problem. That's the problem. Who you are. I'm overweight. I have low self-esteem. I'm a victim. Yeah. Okay? So the healing you need is not in some way to forgive yourself. You know, if you were sexually abused at a very young age, that's a big deal. You have to say, yeah, you know what? I was a child and I was a victim. People do blame themselves a lot of times, you know, for that, because they let the sexual abuse continue because they're children. They don't know. I had a client who let the sexual abuse continue until she was 19 because it's all she knew. She was threatened. She was scared. She beat herself up for it, but she got the realization that she had no control and it was not her fault. You don't just switch on a magic switch after you've been abused, you know, ever since you've been a really young kid when you're 18 years old and have, aha, enlightenment. You're still the victim. You're still in the abuse. Okay? So, the healing is in coming to understand who you are now. Not that girl who lost her way, Cheryl. You can't change the past. God, I wish we could change the past. But you can change the way which you choose to live in the present moment. Right? Every day, every moment, every breath, that's all we've got right now. And the new choice changes you. It changes everything in the only real way it can be changed. Now is all we have, you see. So this very moment, look back, say, it sucked. Hell, it was a horrible childhood. I was abused. I was a victim of sexual abuse. Heal, heal. Yes, you don't have to forgive that person. No, it takes a very long time. You'll never forget. Sometimes forgiving is one of the healthiest things you can do, but it's very hard to get there because we've been so damaged from it. So what you can do is immediately decide to take care of yourself and stop making excuses. I have a weight problem. I'm self-destructive. I have so many clients who want to look back and say, why do I continue eating so much and shoving down my feelings? You just answered your own question. You're shoving down your feelings. Bring it up, feel it, acknowledge it, know it happened. You were a victim. Move on. That's what I can say to you. That's all I can say to you. Move on. Easy to say, hard to do, but that's the only kind of life you're going to have if you don't. That's the way to do it. Moving on with the next question here. Oh, boy. Dear Dr. Michelle, I've been in a relationship with my boyfriend for about 5 years. Okay, that's a nice long relationship. I found out a couple of months ago that he's been having a mental affair with this woman at work. You know what I'm talking about? I guess I know what she's talking about. They're flirting with each other. They talk a lot. They go out for coffee or lunch and whatever. I don't know what they do. He did most of the contact by calling her and chatting online every day for a month. They saw each other a couple of times for lunch, a couple of times after work for a drink. He said there was no intention on his part to go any further, especially since she's married. Oh, he was just having fun and enjoying being with her. I suspect there's something more going on, and I'm not sure if I'll ever get to the truth. My question is how to move on from this. We continue to fight over this since he was not honest with me in the first place. The way I found out was I saw him IMing someone every night. And he didn't do that very often. Okay. Every time I think about him flirting with her and sweet talking to her and being online and IMing her for hours, makes me so angry and resentful. How can I deal with this so I don't have to think about it anymore? My mind's going crazy. Okay, it's called hurt. You feel betrayed. You feel hurt. You feel betrayed. You know, we can all have friends. Nice to have friends. Nice to have other people to talk to. But it does hurt. When you're a woman with a man for 5 years and he starts really communicating with another woman and taking her out to lunch and hanging out with her at work, having drinks and stuff. No, that's, you know, that's kind of on the edge of maybe inappropriate. Unless she's his therapist. But you don't go to lunch with your therapist. You don't take them out to drinks. You don't even go online and IM them. Most people don't do therapy that way. I hope. Anyway. You've got to know that our minds thrive on conflict. I mean, what happens is we continue to build up negative thoughts. So we reinforce this drama and this anger and this horrible feelings every day. It's like we get addicted to that. Okay. So this will help us avoid driving ourselves crazy. If you decide to go ahead with the relationship, then recognize that this is going to constantly come up for you every day. You're going to feel pain. Okay. You have to keep your own heart and your mind present. All right? In spite of the temptation to keep going back. What's his behavior now? Has he stopped? Sounds like he has. Did you tell him it hurt you? Hopefully you did. Did you share with him that you feel like he's sort of cheating on you because he's spending time with another woman at work? And when you say you love to hang out with her, it hurts your feelings. Maybe you should all go out to dinner together. You and your man and her and her husband. You can all be friends. And find out what the real deal is. Experience that real relationship. And if he chooses not to invite her and her husband out to dinner with you, then you know there might be something going on there. You see what I'm saying? You got to decide to trust him or you're going to eat away with this resentment. And that's no real true relationship. You want to wake up every morning, you know, feeling sick, you know, resenting him? Just get to the problem. If he says he's stopped, watch his behavior. If he's not IMing and texting, and ask to check up. You don't want to seem like a police. But if he's willing to share with you that there's no emotional fantasy, sexual going on, and he doesn't want to pursue this relationship with a married woman, then you don't have anything to worry about. But you have to get over this and move on. And if you're going to wake up every morning feeling horrible, then get out of the relationship. I don't care if it's 5 years. Sounds like you've managed to hang in there a long time and keep it going. But if it's, again, if relationships are eating you up and they're horrible, you got to assess, how do you feel every day? How do you feel every day? Does it feel pretty good most every day? You know, not all relationships are wonderful all the time. It's human nature. We all have feelings and we all get hurt. We all have misunderstandings and our own crap we're carrying around. So that's the way it is. But anyway, I hope I helped. I know. I'm coming off pretty crash today. Crass today. But thank you for emailing me because that's a goodie. That's a real goodie. You just got to think about that. You got to decide what you're going to do. Yeah, you have to decide to trust somebody based on the evidence. And if there's no evidence, then you change. You move on. You say, because there's no evidence that you are willing to change or that things are changing, I'm hanging on to this. I can't let go. And that's it. All righty. This is Dr. Michelle with you, by the way. You're on the couch here on LA Talk Radio, as you are every Friday live at 11 a.m. Of course, you can always download shows with great authors, past relationship issues. And today we're having a free-for-all Friday where I'm answering a lot of your questions and I'm helping you out with stuff. Most of these people have emailed me, some via phone into my office, and they've given me permission to share with you some of these problems. But anyway, Dr. Michelle Therapy is my web page, website, drmichelle2allstherapy.com. And, of course, you can link on to emailing me at my professional email address, docmichelle@aol.com, and that's where I get a lot of my material. And try to help you out if I can on the air here live. I always will get your permission to do so. And, of course, I do change names if you'd like, so there's no problem. Let's move on to another really good one. All righty. Aha. Dr. Michelle, what's the best way to make up for betrayals that you may have committed in the past to others? Boy, these are some heavy subjects. We got sexual abuse. We got cheating. So this one's about betrayals. You know, we have all wronged other people. We have all hurt other people. Some unintentionally, some intentionally. Because we were being an asshole or we're hurting ourselves. And we need to lash out because we don't feel well. We have our own unresolved issues. So we've wronged others. We've all done it. Nobody's perfect. And that's why the key to correcting what we consider to be a problem in the past is try to be here in the present. Try to be here in the present. All right? The negative part of our minds always want to keep themselves alive by continually dragging all that we've done wrong in our lives. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's that little parent, you know? That little, we've got the parent and the adult and the child that's always talking to us. Okay. It's the parent that says, oh, God, you really screwed up. Gee, are you hurting somebody again? You really screwed up. You need to get rid of all your concerns for what is no longer and be intent on being conscious of what's right in front of you and clear it up. Stop betraying people. Stop committing nasty things. Stop doing it. You're gonna get. That's the way you make feel better is you say, now I choose in my life to be healthier and stop betraying people. Now I choose. Yes, I was an asshole. Admission, take responsibility. That is the hallmark of a healthy person who can take responsibility for the problems they've caused. And in this email from, I'll call him Josh, you know, he wants to make up for betrayals that he's committed in the past. Stop beating yourself up. Know you've done them. Take responsibility and never do them again. And if you hurt or betray someone, make sure it's unintentional. And then share with them that it was unintentional. You never meant to hurt them. You never meant to slight them or make them feel bad. And explain why. And your mind will be clear. Apologizing to everybody who you feel have hurt, you know, in the past. That's, you know, like the 12-step thing. What is that? Is that number 4? Make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Right? You got to apologize to people. You got to, if you can find them from your past, it's okay. You know that show My Name is Earl? That guy who writes down all the things he's done bad, and he goes back to apologize to people and make up for the bad things he's done. It's a pretty cool show. It's a pretty cool idea. Because he's trying to make right all the stuff within him. And people along the way, if you've seen the show, still hate him and still are angry with him. Many times the show ends up where he's happy and they're happy and they say, oh, you're such a great guy. No, we can never please everybody in our lives all the time. They will always hold grudges. They will always be hurt by the stuff you've done to them. There's people like that. They'll hang on. Some people will let it go. Eh, I got a life now. It's cool. You were an asshole. We both agree. Ha ha. Have you changed? Are you an asshole? No. I've moved on and I know I was a jerk. So that's, be responsible for your past choices. Move on. Alrighty? Just don't repeat the same hurtful mistakes and live to be an honest and kind person. Try to do that. Don't be so damn defensive of other people and hurt them. If you feel you are, you have to examine why you are. Okay, Josh? Cool. Let's move on. Dr. Michelle here. Moving on to the next question, and we are doing a Free for All Friday here on LA Talk Radio. I'm answering a lot of listeners' questions, and I want to get to them all because I got a lot this last week, and they're pretty heavy. All right, we're going to move on. So many nights I have a recurring dream about all these people I knew in high school. So we're doing dream therapy here. Is this dream just nonsense coming out of memory, or is it trying to tell me something about myself? Well, I don't know, except from what I've read. I mean, they have dream studies, and they have, you know, interpretations of dreams, and everybody has their, yeah, the phallic symbol, right? You know, there's all these dream interpretations. Everybody has their own interpretation of what a dream means. But, you know, one saying that everything in the dream is a reflection of who you are. Every object and every person in that dream is you. So if you're talking to your old friend from high school and he's having an argument with you, that's supposedly you, too, having an argument with yourself. I don't know if I buy that stuff. But here's the thing. A lot of dream experts say that there's a couple of reasons for them. Most dreams, for most people, are just, they're kind of like, I don't know how else to say it, but it's just, it's almost like recycled garbage pushing its way back into the mind for reasons known only to whatever unconscious associations or, you know, impressions happened to us that day or that week or what we saw on TV or a conversation we had on the phone or a text we received or something. There's all this stuff going on. It's called processing. Our brain, kind of in that, I think, REM stage, needs to process all the crap like a computer to work it out. We need to reboot at night. We need to process it. And so you don't make a big deal of it. Wow, I was talking to somebody today, and then I got a phone call from a lady in a movie that I saw last night. And then a week ago, I had a fight with my boss, and he walked into the room. It's all stuff that you've accumulated, and you've compiled it into one kind of a set or a scene in order to analyze and work out and work through. So be it. That's cool. And the cool thing is that other dreams provide us with a window into ourselves. So I think all dreams are really profound. I think it's important to look, wow, why did I dream that? Oh, write it down in the morning. Write down your dream as much as you can remember, because it's always fun, because it'll dissipate as you wake up more fully. Usually, a lot of people do have really clear, lasting memories of their dreams throughout the day or the week or whatever. But you know what? Write it down. It's really therapeutic to try to do that. If you can do that, or try to write little sketchy notes throughout the day that you remember, because not everybody is as disciplined to get up and write down their dreams in the morning. I have a therapist friend who does that every morning. She's a real vivid dreamer. She has a cool kind of a dream journal, which is really awesome. Gives her insight to herself, which was what I was leading to. A lot of dreams help us discover ourselves. You know, sometimes the things we're dreaming about are uninvestigated expressions of who we are and what we really fear and feel about ourselves. You know, that's that old classic stuff. I was being chased. All these people were, like being really mean to me. I felt really smothered in this environment. You got to look what's going on around you. Who's smothering you? Who's beating you up? Who's making you feel fear? It's really very easy stuff to translate in those kind of dreams. The flying dreams and the I can breathe underwater dreams, and I was running so fast and I outran everybody dreams. Those are freedom and power. You're feeling in a good place. You know, I had somebody come to me about 3 weeks ago and they were talking about a dream. I don't really do deep dream analysis because I think everybody needs to work through. But we talk about, well, what that means? And what are you feeling about yourself right now? And this person who came in and said, I was running down the street and there were about 40 people chasing me, but I was jumping over hurdles. I was jumping over cars. I was tumbling. And the first thing that came to mind for me was that commercial with the computer, with a guy running down the street. And he's, yeah, you know the one I'm talking about. I'm not going to give anybody a plug, but he's got the best computer and he's overcoming all the obstacles in life. Basically, that's what they're talking about. And he's outrunning everybody. So the person, I immediately asked them if they've seen that commercial. They go, oh, yeah. Also, they've recently had a promotion in their life. Also, they recently worked out some things with their relationship. So they're overcoming a lot of blocks. So they're running and they're achieving and they're outrunning people who are trying to catch up and get them. So there's a success element to that. It's a good thing. So you got to look at that too. So number one, there's a lot of unrecycled garbage. Subconscious stuff just needs working out. Allow it. Just work it out. You may not know, what the hell is that doing in my dream? And then I saw a purple cow sitting over there, and then my uncle came up to me and barked like a dog, and then, it's crazy. Our minds work out shit. You know, sometimes we feel deeply coming out of a dream. We feel sadness. All right? We feel things. Try to work that out. Write that down. What are you feeling when you come out of a dream? What are you feeling? Did you feel sad? Did you feel betrayed? Did you feel happy? What did you feel? And based on that, what's going on in your life? And if you're feeling sad from that dream, what might you need to do to make yourself a little happier? Because your subconscious or whatever's hanging on to it in there. You see. Did that help at all? I hope that helped. Because I love to help people with some dream analysis. So thanks for writing me, Greg. This is Dr. Michelle with you on LA Talk Radio. You are officially on the couch, as you are every Friday at 11 o'clock here on Pacific Coast time. Let's see. I'm picking out some really good questions from listeners who've emailed me at my professional website, email address rather, Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. Okay, this is kind of a cool one. It's not so heavy, but it's kind of a common one, especially in our economy right now. Dear Doc, I'm 26 years old, have not been able to secure a job for almost 4 years since leaving college. I've been through so many recruitment exercises for different organizations, but always end up receiving rejection letters. I've even gone back to school to get a master's degree in my field in the hope of improving my chances, but to no avail. I read somewhere that it would be really stupid to expect a different outcome if we keep on doing things that we've already done. Well, that's true. But I want you to just stop building up this huge pile of doo-doo about what's happened in the past. That's what your mind's going, oh, yes, but this happened and that happened and I can't get this job and I can't go. See, you have such a pile in front of you, you can't see over it. You can't see around it. You can't go under it. Does that sound like a song? Yeah. Nothing in the universe has the power to hold us back from our heart's real desire. You know, it seems like we're being really denied. There's a lot of people in this world that want their needs met. You know, it's not every man for himself. Look out, asshole. I'm crawling all over you. No, but you have to work on what you like. You know, we're being asked by life what it is that we really want. What are we willing to sacrifice to have that? You know, the limit of our present view is never the limit of our possibilities. See, to change what is possible in your life requires what you're willing to change how you see your life. Okay. It just kind of seems that this is what real life is always asking us to do. Don't you think? It's up to us. We've got the free will to change our thinking and try to change things in our life. I'm so sorry that you're getting rejection letters and that you've been through training exercises and that you might just figure out what you'd like to do that would make you feel better. You have tools now. You have a master's degree in your field, as you call it. Okay? Stop being a defeatist. Move on. Keep it out there. Keep it out there. Keep the energy going. Don't go into an interview. Don't go into a possibility saying, well, I've been rejected so many times in the past, I know I'm not going to get this one too. These are picking up the vibes, man. I'm all for the law of attraction. What you're putting out, you're going to get right on back to you. So, keep persevering, alrighty? To no avail is what you keep saying. So, you're right. It's kind of dumb to expect a different outcome if you keep doing things the same way. Alter your course. Look at something different. Is there something else you might be really good at? And you know that movie Yes Man with Jim Carrey? He had to change his life. He was always avoiding everybody. He was always avoiding social situations. And he was always avoiding people at work. And then he went to the seminar that said, just say yes to life. Sometimes you have to just say yes and do stuff. Just open up to stuff. You don't feel like it? Somebody invites you somewhere? Yeah. you don't feel like getting up and going to this meeting, that maybe you should, you join this group, and do it. Just do it. See what happens. You never know what's going to happen. You know, if you open up and put your chances out there, it's going to be good. You keep hitting it, it's like the lotto. I just made that up. Not like the lotto. The more energy you put out there in the world, the more you're going to get something. The more you put it out, the more you're going to get it. The more you put the negative, the more you're going to get that back. The more you try and say, you know what, I'm going to reach for some other kind of possibility and see if I can find something else that I like. Write down some of the things you really, really like. Start asking people in those fields, what do they do? How did they get there? I have a master's degree. I'm a pretty nice person. Yeah, you might go to a life coach. What can I do to improve the way I appear to others? Maybe physically. Maybe emotionally. Maybe you're walking in like with a downer in those interviews. Maybe you're really hard to be around. This guy's such a downer, man. I was going to hire him. He looks good, but damn, he's such a... Whoo, that negative energy's... I don't want this guy in my space. See what I'm saying? Maybe a life coach would help. And be willing to hear somebody say to you, man, you're a downer. You really are depressive. You're hard to be with. And don't try to kiss ass so much. It's really obnoxious when you're like, that's nervous. That's, you know, that's insecurity. Understand that. Be willing to be open to criticism. It's okay. You want change. You want help. Look at it. Be open to it. See what somebody objective might have to say about you. Somebody you don't know. Okay? All right. I hope I can help you on that. We're moving on here with Dr. Michelle's Free for All Friday questions. Let's see. It's another door slammed in my face kind of thing. Here's a good one. Dear Dr. Michelle, I lost a great deal of money to a dishonest business partner. I can't believe I could have fallen for such an obvious scammer. That person I thought was my friend could have stolen from me. I'm full of rage, guilt, and concern over what's going to happen to my family. What do I do? Well, yeah. I'd be pissed off, too. I mean, many of us get duped by people who we believed were true and wonderful and honest in business and life and family and parents, whatever. Sometimes there's evil out there, and sometimes they are set out to take from us and hurt us. And that sucks. And I'm really sorry that you kind of bought into, you say it was such an obvious scam that person pulled on you. Well, you'll never do that again, will you? That's a big hell of a life lesson right there for you, right? So you're still full of rage and guilt and concern. And I get it. Stop beating yourself up. You fell for it. Move on. Yeah, you're raged. Did you think of evil things to do to his property and his house and his throat? I bet you did. Look, we all think like that when we're hurt that bad, when we're ripped off, especially a huge fortune that we've invested in for our family, and somebody ripped us off and was dishonest. My God, it's very painful. I would file criminal charges against this person if you're still around or know where they're at, unless they've gone to a foreign country and changed their name. That's number one. Try to get back some of the money you were ripped off. If you can prove it, if you have paperwork, if you have legal information. But let me tell you this right now. Stop. Just cut it off. You got to move on with your life. You mentioned here that you have a family. So you got to move on with that. Okay, and also, James, please try to stop with the self-pity. Okay, just try to stop. It'll only wear you down. Oh, my God, I was really taken in by this guy. I was really... Yeah, you were. It sucks. Just refuse to be self-pitying. Just kind of stop it. You moved on. You learned a lesson. Yeah, it hurt like hell. Move on. You could have done differently. Stop kicking yourself. You could have done differently, but you didn't know any better, so you did what you did. You got a lesson. If you could have, you would have. You didn't have it. Give up the regret. It only ties you to that old life level that didn't know better and keeps you from the one that does. So start over, wherever that may be. Start over. Make a plan. Okay? And we do get hurt. We do get scammed. We do get beat up. But hatred destroys the one who hates. Okay? You know, if you'd clean up the resentments and be a good person to others, you learn from the past, you won't make a mistake like that again. You'll probably be paranoid for a long time and not very trustful of others. But that's a sign. That's a flag. Be careful before you make major choices. Don't burn yourself up with wasted energies that could be put to productive purposes. All those energies of self-hate and self-pity and all that thought and all that emotion could go to a positive side. Okay? So you got to, also you mentioned you have kids or a family here. Just change your current attitudes and your example. Because, you know, from what I get here, you're really suffering a lot. And you're kind of projecting a lot of anger. And they're picking up on that. I mean, you may not be angry to them. You may be really kind of cool and all that. But, you know, families pick up on it if you're suffering and if you're feeling sad and you're beating yourself up. And that's kind of bringing everybody else down. Okay? So just refuse the power to be possessed of self-pity and hate and all that negative stuff. Okay? You get to choose over and over and over again, as many times as necessary, what's great and good for you. Over and over, just climb out of it. Move on. No, you'll never do it again. And that's the way you work with it. Okay, let's move on. This is Dr. Michelle, by the way, and you're on the couch with me. I'm answering all my listeners' questions. I'm trying to knock off a whole bunch of listeners' questions because we've got some really good stuff here. Let's see. Here's a good one. Dear Dr. Michelle, how does taking responsibility... Ooh, I like this one. This is a good... This is kind of a self... he answered his own question. How does taking responsibility for your role in conflict help you forgive others? Is it that it makes you more sympathetic to people who've hurt you? Yeah. Should it help you recognize that the other isn't as much at fault as you thought they were? Yeah. See, we tend to blame others, as we do, right? It makes any form of forgiveness impossible if we continue to blame others. You know, they have personality disorders. Certain personality disorders, borderline for one that I can think of, narcissistic, which is very close. Usually the women get the borderline, the men get the narcissistic. They blame others in their lives for everything that happens to them. They never take full responsibility for making choices that screwed them up. And it's okay, we all screw up. Yeah, I screwed up. I'm not going to screw up again. I'm going to go back to that person and say, I screwed up. I'm going to make amends and move on. But those personality disorders, that's why they are written down in that diagnostic and statistical manual of mental disorders. Because the people that have these personality disorders cannot change. They will continue to blame everybody in their life for what is their fault. So I really appreciate you writing me this email because it's just perfect, Alyssa. As we try to take, this is the only way I can try to explain it to you, is we try to take responsibility for our own life. We become increasingly aware of our own reactions, right? So we see how often we're made to act against ourselves because of some pain in us that causes us to lash out at others. We blame others. Okay? As we grow to understand our own pain and assume responsibility for it, we realize that a lot of other people have the same kind of inner conflict. Everybody feels as helpless as we are. Okay? You got to give like a higher self-awareness. Genuine forgiveness. Taking responsibility in your role for hurting others. And moving on. There's some people that absolutely can't because of their disorder. Sometimes antidepressants help, but there's no general medication that's going to make a borderline or a narcissistic person really change. Unless they hit bottom or they're completely abandoned by everyone. And that may not change them either, because they'll still be fighting for how they were wronged. Everyone else hurt me in my life, and they're not going to take responsibility for it. See how that works? You got to think about taking responsibility. And this is old stuff. You've heard this forever. You know, some of us may have heard it from our parents, or, you know, from our caregivers, whoever they have been, or siblings. It's all true. It helps us free ourselves, get off ourselves, move on, and change direction. Don't make the same mistakes again. You know? Okay. Oh, let's see here. Ah! Boy, I keep getting people who have things slammed in their faces. There's a good one. Dr. Michelle, I want to make a change in my life. When I look at the conditions around me, I see there's no way it's going to happen. I try to do something different, but the door is always slammed. I look out at life, and I'm caught in this great resistance, sometimes rage, resentment towards my family and friends, and life itself, because I'm denied everything. Whoa, this sounds like the person I was just talking about. I feel inadequate because it seems that rejection is everywhere. How do I move past the conviction that I can't possibly get past what I see? Rejection is not everywhere. Rejection is what you think. You got to take responsibility for why other people may be rejecting you, and why you're so sensitive to what we call slight, feeling like you're slighted. Okay? Sometimes you have to say, you know what? I have had the door slammed on me. Yep, we all have. We've been hurt in relationships. Yep, we've been fired. Uh-huh. We've had shitty days. We've had car accidents. We've had lawsuits. We've had physical problems. We got to move past it right now. Let's see life as it is. Let's go. Let's work on it right now. Okay? What is real? Real life is not solid. See, I see what you're saying to me. You said there's always doors slammed on me. I'm always being put back. Ah, rejection is everywhere. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you, baby. We all feel like that, but you got to get over that. Okay? Nothing we experience is being a condition in which we are stuck. Nothing as that we see, you know, is like solid. It's always this way. It's always that way. It's not solid. Okay? What stayed solid is negativity, by resisting over and over and over and over. So you've got to feel, you know what? Life isn't always about rejection. It's not always about being slammed on me. Life is fluid. That's what it's about. It's about real change. And we make change. That's what we do. And a negative state feeds on itself. Okay? So all you do is tell yourself, that's what I can't do. Life is bad. And I've been talking about this like off and on with all these questions over the last 50 minutes or so. So I want you to think about this. Life is fluid. We have choices every moment. Every moment we get to make choices about what we're going to do. Every moment. Yeah, we do. It's about that time. This is Dr. Michelle with you. You've been on the couch with Dr. Michelle. We've had fun. And I thank you so much, by the way, for emailing me. I think I answered just about all but one of the questions today that I wanted to get to. So if you'd like to write me and find me, you can do so. My email address is docmichelle@aol.com. That's docmichelle@aol.com. And that's where you can write me questions and comments or whatever you'd like about the show today on LA Talk Radio. Or, of course, you can find me on my website, drmichelletherapy.com. Love to talk to you, as I always do every Friday here at 11 o'clock in the morning live. Download shows. I got content there. Find out what you want to learn. And as I always say here, do take care of yourself first, please. It's not a narcissistic thing, because if you're messed up, everybody else is going to look that way to you. All right. Have a good day. It's Dr. Michelle. Take good care. Bye-bye.
Got you on my mind again tonight. I see in the flash.